This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about Tighthead, Geno's East Brewing, and then we dive into a lot of beer news. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we're back with another episode. Every week I say that, like we're always back.
Like we went somewhere.
Yeah, we didn't go anywhere. Well, we did go places.
But we didn't really go that far.
No, we stayed in Chicago and drank beer here.
Yeah.
But every week on the episode, we're drinking new local beer. And this week we left Chicago briefly for some beer from Evanston.
Yeah, so this is the Escapist IPA from Temperance Beer Company up in Evanston, man.
Right, so this is their newest beer in cans. I think I was confused with our, So Mighty, Mr. Nice.
Mice All Right.
Yeah. Mr. Nice Mites or something. This beer is pretty awesome.
I like this beer a lot. This is a brewery that we actually recorded from live, maybe the first one we recorded from live, right up in beautiful Evanston. They got a killer space. Yeah, I like it, man. It's big on the hops, right? So, like, it's not like that orange tropical thing you're used to. This is more like a little bit of lemon-lime kind of bitterness in it, you know?
Yeah, it makes me think of an IPA that I remember having. Like, this is what IPA tastes like.
Yeah. Yeah, straightforward American IPA. And we were talking, you know, in the pre-show that this Claudia Gendron, their brewster, you know, not an alewife, because those are synonyms, but you call somebody an alewife, they get pissed off. Their brewster, their head brewer, is leaving.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so apparently she's going to Pipeworks to be to lead quality control efforts over there.
Oh, wow. We don't know why, right?
We're not really sure why. It seems kind of random and abrupt. I mean, not just beers over at Temperance, but award-winning beers, like we were talking about.
Yeah, the English Miles, you know.
Yeah, the Gatecrasher, the English IPA. So I was digging into it a little bit, and, you know, English IPAs that win at the Great American Beer Fest, it's a really short list. I mean, Goose won like 6 times with theirs. And then Claudia in 2014 and 2016 took home a silver and a gold, respectively.
Crazy.
So, I mean, and I think she's like one of the only, well, no, her and Lagunitas, two of the few places that have, you know, female head brewers. And it looks like
there are more now.
Yeah, there's probably more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool story, though, because, you know, Temperance was like, what was it like? They started the movement that led to Prohibition.
Right. You know, women's movement started, the Temperance movement started Prohibition.
Yeah, so it was
and
a really
it started
cool
in Evanston.
In Evanston. And here she is, the first brewery since then to open. It was such a cool story, and it sounds like she's leaving, so.
Yeah, so that's kind of a bummer. This is their first new beer in cans since opening, where they've done the Gatecrasher, the Beechwood Blonde.
Yeah.
And I want to say that's it, right?
That's all that comes to mind. Everything else was like the big bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're slowly growing. I think they have a very, I guess, mild or easy path that they want to expand on, like the brew pub and tap house, whatever you want to call it, are always packed. It's like, it's not a brew pub. They don't really have food.
Like a tap room. But, kid friendly, a lot of space, and just really well put together, their space up in Evanston,
Definitely. So, we're going to sip on this, enjoy it, and I got to say, I'm probably going to pick this up again.
I'm excited about this, man. Yeah, this is a very nice beer.
So, last week we talked about a few events. They're finally starting to, like, kick off and grow, and, you know, maybe the weather warm up here soon and we can get the outdoor events happening.
Yeah, we seem to be full frontal, man. We're rolling with events, man.
So last week Let's see. Did you make it anything?
I did. I made it up to beautiful Mundelein, Illinois.
Okay.
So this is in the North Burbs, man.
Probably farther than Evanston.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, a little bit, like North Shore-ish. So I caught up with the guys from Tighthead Brewing up there, and they're a 5-year-old output. You know, they just expanded on their space. The Mundelein Beer Fest has been organized by them all years, and then it was on their space last couple years. Yeah, it's hiding in plain sight, man. They were saying, like, people who live in Mundelein don't really know where it is because it's off in the corner, and it's like a little industrial park, and it's bordered by a train. But that commuter train, the North Central Line, doesn't really run on weekends. It's just a straight-up Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
6 p.m., we're done train, you know. So they like, yeah, they get a lot of support up there. So, and they just expanded to Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah, Billy, the owner, head brewer there, is a really great guy.
Yeah, super cool. Big fish guy.
Yeah.
The jam band. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about that. And, you know, we just wanted to come, you know, check out their space, man. So they got 30 taps, 15-barrel system. And, yeah, I was really surprised by their barrel program, man. A couple of beers that I really dug up there were the barrel-aged chocolate malty balls, which I think we talked about at FOBAB. And then
that bottle release was like the weekend after.
Yeah, so they blew through all their beer in like an hour.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, like a couple thousand bottles in an hour. And what he let us try just was from like the staff stash.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. Oh, and then also this barrel-aged Old Kaya, which is a barley wine.
Okay.
Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of, like, that Goose barley wine a little bit. It was everything you wanted without that harsh, bitter alcohol phenolic
note. The Bourbon County Stout barley wine,
It reminded me a little bit of that, just a lot lighter in every way. You know, so about five months in Woodford Reserve barrels for that one. Yeah. So it was a good time. I was really excited about the Replicale beer, which was a dry hop lager. He said a lot of people weren't drinking it, but it was really great. It was 4.3%. It's just like the style wasn't too popular.
Oh, okay, cool.
But the thing that intrigues me most about them is their Irie IPA. You know, it's like 7% straightforward IPA. But there was a thrill list at a blind taste test on IPAs, and it finished fourth overall out of like 20. And these are all local Chicagoland IPAs. So the only IPAs that finished higher in that blind tasting for thrill list were, Unanee's Hopsert, Half Acre, Gone Away IPA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lizard King from Pipeworks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so their IPA is really tasty. They got a lot of moves up there. A lot of good stuff they're doing.
Yeah, I think because they're in Mundelein, they kind of get, if people forget about them.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, I see the Scarlet Fire, which is their first recipe. It's like an Imperial Red Ale.
Mm-hmm.
I see that on tap at bars around town.
Sometimes, yeah.
And I think that you know, it's starting to change a little bit because they do that annual fest, and then they're just getting out to more markets. But, yeah, they're just kind of like hiding in plain sight, like a really cool secret up there in Lake County. So you get a handful of breweries up there. Lake Bluff Brewing Up's up there.
Okay.
Lucky Monk, Wild Onion, those are up in Barrington. And Light the Lamp up in Grays Lake.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Man, see, I haven't even made it to, I think I've only made it to Tighthead up in that area. Yeah. Never made it to the other ones.
Yeah, it's a dope space. Oh, and those guys are really into like jam bands like Fish and the Grateful Dead.
Uh-huh.
And Billy and the other guy. The two guys who run the show. You know, I ran into one of them at the Grateful Dead show here in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Like last summer. Yeah, it was like the Dry Hop guys, the Chicago Brew Bus guys, and then Bruce. Bruce is his name. Bruce from Tight End. Yeah, and they're like, yeah, man, this is like my 30th show. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, there's a lot of Deadhead brewers out there because they will tell you, like, you know, in the early 90s and like even the late 80s, you know, when the Grateful Dead showed up, that was really the only place where you could get a wide range of small batch, locally produced beers.
Oh, because people would travel and bring stuff.
Exactly.
And...
Yeah.
So, that's kind of fun.
And that's a cool little fun fact about Deadheads.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, cheers to those guys, man. I had a blast up there.
Nice. That's awesome, man. I need to make it up. It's been a long time. Last time I was up there, I took a bike ride up there. Yeah. And it's far. Yeah.
It's out there. Yeah, and I think Tighthead refers to like a position on there as a former like rugby guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Tighthead refers to like a Tighthead prop, which is like a position in rugby.
Yeah,
because
they have a like football or rugby ball on their like logo.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And go to the Facebook page. We took a bunch of photos when we were up there too.
Nice.
So,
Let's see. I know we talked about this local option tap takeover at Kuma's.
Right.
Or it was more of a tap invasion.
Invasion.
Yeah.
Not quite a takeover.
And so I didn't go the night of, but it was Thursday night. But on Friday, ended up going for lunch because I'm like, I bet they still have stuff left. And they still had like three beers on. I accidentally ordered the beer.
That wasn't a local option beer?
No, it was a local option beer, but it's one I've had before, and I didn't like it. I forgot that I didn't love it. So it's the Kentucky Common.
Yeah.
And it's a sour ale, which I keep forgetting. I think now two times I know that beer is going to be sour, and it's not what I want it. Not when you're eating a burger, you don't necessarily want a sour beer. It's a fine beer, but
wasn't. Wrong place, wrong time.
Right, yeah.
I like the they got that foreign extra stout called like Exorcist or something. That was pretty good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they were also pouring a Bourbon County Stout.
Okay.
They had that going, and then they were selling. I don't know if they're still selling this, but they may be tickets to that open air fest that you went to last year.
Oh, they're doing it again this year.
Yeah. Tinley Park.
It's out south. It's Toyota Park.
Yeah.
KISS is headlining this year.
Yeah, so they're selling tickets like at cost there. Really? So,
I would say if you go on a Friday, be prepared because like there's like no transportation getting out there. It's like 78th and Cicero, and the only way to get there is to drive. It's a super like it's unusually long to get to this place. But Saturday, Sunday, you got there pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I did on Friday. Yeah, just had a couple beers at Kuma's. You know, local option. I don't make it to the actual place very often, so I try to, when I see their beers, I'm like, I should try this again.
For sure. And I like how their local option beer works. Their tap handle's like a really huge, like, knife.
It looks deadly.
Like an attack knife.
Yeah. I was going to get a picture of it, but I would have had to, like, lean over a bunch of people eating their burgers. And so I was like, that's
fine. You don't want to do that at Kuma's. You don't know what kind of mood those Kuma's guys are in, man.
And then Saturday, after the Women's March, a bunch of us were looking for a place to eat.
Yeah.
And we were trying to, like, there was a lot of people there. So we tried to go to Rock Bottom. That was, like, packed.
Really? Because that's a kind of north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the march was, people were just marching all over.
Dude, like 150,000 people. I was at Haymarket, and you would still see like droves of people, signs.
Yeah, like 250,000.
Jesus. How cool is that, though?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I was in that, and then I'm like, well, there's another brewery. Geno's East is like over here, and we can kind of walk there. It's not that far. So we went there. There was like no one there. And so that was perfect. Friends did not know it was a brewery.
Right.
So they're like, oh, this was kind of sweet. They were pretty surprised by some of the beers, especially the Pineapple Imposter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I had a couple. I don't remember. I think I had the Pineapple and something like Ruby Lewis and the Blues or something. Yeah.
These puns on some of these. People are running out of names.
Yeah.
For beers, man. You know, it's funny. I like the, their wit is very understated and really good. Pineapple Imposter might be, their best beer too, I think. Yeah. That used to be Michael Jordan Steakhouse. The original Michael Jordan Steakhouse was in that building.
Okay.
And when you walk in, they have the Geno's East, the Geno's East carpet. But under the carpet is the tile, and it's still, like, number 23 in, like, a little digitized basketball in tile.
Oh, that's cool.
Like an 80s style. It just looks really cool.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. We just need beer and food. And we didn't want to also wait for a deep dish, so we just ended up getting thin crust. Yeah. The hour wait for deep dish, and we're like, just give us, thin crust. We just want food.
Yeah, that's a massive space. They got the, I think, pizza on two floors, and then on the third floor is like a comedy club.
Yeah, they didn't even have the first floor open. They were sending everyone to the second floor.
Okay.
And it wasn't full or anything up there.
I'm digging this escapist, man.
So that was what I made it to, those, I guess, two places, not... No, nothing that exciting. Places I've been to before.
Beer related, for sure. Yeah. Two local breweries. I was on the Guild's website, and they said statewide there are over 80 breweries around here. You know, lion's share of those are probably, obviously you're probably in the city.
Mm-hmm. I saw a photo from that. Was it On Tour Brewing or?
Yeah, that opened like a block from Goose Island, Fulton.
So that looks nice. I need to make it over that, but they have kind of shitty hours. They're open like 3 to 9.
And not on like on Tuesday.
Tuesday through Friday or something.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Dude, you need to just be open. People like to drink in this city, man. Just be open.
And open after work, not like during work. Oh, we're only open from like 1 to 6. Man,
there's a bar in my building at the day job called the Chicago Newsroom.
Okay.
Yeah, I get to work at 7:30. I go down and take a snack at like 10 o'clock in the morning. That bar's open.
Yeah.
You got to be open, man. You can't play games, man. People like to drink.
But should we get into some of the events happening this week that people should be checking out?
Yeah, for sure. Let's dive into it. A little light on events this week, but some fun stuff nonetheless. Let's start off with the Chicago Ale Fest.
Okay.
Winter edition in a beautiful Navy Pier. Yeah, so that's two sessions. There's a noon session and a 6 o'clock session. Yeah.
And that's this weekend.
That's this weekend. That's on Saturday.
And this is another...
Wait, is this Saturday the 28th?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The month is over.
Jeez.
This is, I think... No, we have one more episode... We will record at the end of January, but this is really the last January episode.
Man, it's wild, man. Then it's Valentine's Day, then it's St. Patty's Day, then it's Chicago Craft Beer Week.
I know.
All over again.
What?
All right, so they're doing Josh Siegel, who's like a 2-3-time guest on this show, 150 beers. I think they're listening, man. They got a DJ spinning an all vinyl playlist at this thing, man.
Oh, you think he listened? And he's like, oh, shit, I got to get a DJ. Damn it. Brad and Nick from the right. People want DJs.
Yeah, and they got food trucks as well, man. Yeah, so this looks like a good time.
Cool.
His events are pretty solid. And then, you know, Navy Pier is that room in particular, the Grand Ballroom.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I was at Sierra Nevada's beer camp. Over the summer, a couple years ago. Cider Summit is always in that space, too. It's all the way at the back of the pier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much are tickets?
Tickets for that looks like a $50 ticket.
Oh, well, that's a really good deal for roughly, like, what, 4 hours of drinking?
Pretty much.
So.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, that is a $50 ticket. $20 designated driver ticket.
Okay.
Which is a good look.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So check that out. Two sessions this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And then also this weekend, the good folks at Five Rabbit Cerveceria are having a super special bottle release. I'm going to butcher the name of this, man. I've been practicing too, man. El Inigo Montoya. So basically, it's an imperial stout with barrel-aged imperial stout with vanilla bean, goat's milk caramel, and toasted pecans. So this is a barrel-aged version of the Yodo Con Leche beer, which was their Imperial Porter in Heaven Hill barrels.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. So that beer actually took a mell at FOBAB a couple years ago. Yeah. So
the Con Leche one?
This version of Yodo Con Leche.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
And it's a bottle release. You can pick it up at the brewery.
Yeah. So they're down in Bedford Park, which is like on the southwest side of things, essentially. Yeah. It's $23 for a bottle.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Check that out. Haven't heard much from Five Rabbit recently. I know people have left, and so.
Yeah, I feel like I think their golden ale is really good. If they can figure out, I think they should do just like, you know, cans, like big cans, like you know how like not comparing it to old style, but let's just say, you know, Stone IPA or Founders All Day IPA, you know, you can get that in like a tall boy can.
Oh yeah, that's
right. You can get that in like a 24 pack. You know, I think some of their beers are really approachable, and you can get them, and they should put them in different packaging. You know, because they can just kind of get lost.
Yeah.
Some of the beers that they make that are really good get lost.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just me.
Nice.
All right.
Anything else happening over the weekend that people should be checking out?
No, man, it's a short list of events, man.
All right, no. All right. How about any beer news? I know we talked about Claudia leaving Temperance.
Claudia's leaving. We got a little bit of beer news here. Pace Magazine, they came out with a list of their favorite 102 non-barrel-aged stouts. 102 is an even number. I don't understand it other than that.
That okay, that's a weird number. Like that feels like it's very hard to write.
Yeah,
it's like you really did just look at Beer Advocate or Rate Beer, and like here they all are. No one can get mad.
Right. I mean, I do like how they have photos of most of them, like the top 50 or whatever.
Yeah. You think they message the people to use their photos?
It looks like the same photo.
Oh, okay.
You know, just different beer, same photo. So it looks like they...
So they try to get some of them.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So they go through like unranked, which is like, you know, 102 through, let's say, 45. And then they rank 45 to 1.
Okay.
Oh, so let's just look at some of the local offerings. So 18th Street is at 35 with Twisted Engagement, which was their third year anniversary coffee beer. Coffee stout.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 11 was a Spiteful Malevolence Chocolate Caliente Stout.
Huh. Okay.
Which I've had a couple times. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 10 was Three Floyds Block Out the Sun.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Blot Out the Sun.
I haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. The notes on that were kind of funny. They're like, who the fuck slipped a black IPA into our stout category?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's their thing. That's their MO over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Darkness was number 2 on that list. That's not really local, but.
Okay.
Number 1 overall was Mr. Sandman, which is a brewery called River North Brewing in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. So Dark Lord didn't make it?
No. No, because, yeah, there is a non. The original Dark Lord is non-barrel aged.
Yeah. Just thinking, if Darkness made it, I was surprised they didn't include Dark Lord.
And Dark Lord gets, you know, the party is amazing. It gets the recognition it should. The party does. But I don't know. I'm on the fence about that. The actual beer, Dark Lord.
Yeah. I agree.
It's out of whack for me, man. I just don't get it. Sierra Nevada, the third largest craft brewery in the country. Are recalling beer in 36 states.
Yeah, so I saw this story. I didn't dive into it.
Yeah.
Enlighten me.
36 states?
A lot of beer.
What the fuck? Apparently, like, they've got 12 brands, and the beer apparently has shards of glass in
what?
It.
Huh. That's crazy. That's that. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like, this is off.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's a little flat or, you know, off flavors.
Glass.
There's glass, man.
That's a lot of beer and a lot of glass.
36 states, man. And apparently, Corona went through this too. They had to recall the 6-ounce Coronita bottles because of the same issue. I didn't really see on how that happens. But
did anyone get hurt?
I'm about to sue. I had a Hop Hunter the other day, and I've been coughing up blood all week. No, but let's hope everybody's okay, because that's pretty serious. I don't want to swallow glass, man. You know, if I got their winter IPA, which is delicious, you know, Celebration. It's got like the cabin house with the snow covered evergreen trees on the cover. I don't want to drink that and get glass in my mouth, man.
That's why you got to pour your beer into a glass.
Yeah.
This is like, that's a warning, right? You would see it. You'd be like,
yeah.
Wait, what is that?
Yeah. If you decant your beer into a proper glass, you might not.
It was probably so small.
You might not swallow the glass.
That you wouldn't even notice.
That too. You know, and what if it's a dark beer?
Because it had to have been, if it's that much beer, it must have. Something must have fell into the tank, and right
in the bright tank, because they usually package from the bright tank.
Yeah,
man, that's hardcore.
Like somebody dropped something in there, right?
Yeah, or there was
maybe like some glasses fell in there or something.
Oh man,
eyeglasses. Like maybe someone like was leaning over and they like fell in or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're not open like that, so I don't even know how that works.
I don't know how you get glass in a bright tank.
Because it's not like it's, you can't.
Because it's pumped in from the, pumped in from the fermenter.
Yeah, you get like the door, so you're not just opening it up.
So this had to happen. If you're doing this in 36 states, to your point, there had to be a lot of beer. So this had to be a whole lot of glass. So it was what happened that this much glass?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm glad they spoke up though, you know?
Yeah. Huh. That's a lot of glass. Yeah. Or just the thought. I guess maybe it wasn't even a lot of glass. Maybe it was a little bit, and they're like, it could range from this packaging day, and it went to 36 states.
Yeah, your most expensive beer is the beer you didn't recall. You know? It could damage your rep, and you might not bounce. We learned about reputations through, like, the Argus and the Finch stories we talked about.
Damn, that's scary to drink your beer now. Like, I'm gonna stick to water where I can see what's in here.
You know, yeah, your reputation is a big deal. So even if it was just a little glass, play it safe and just say fuck it, we're pulling out. You know.
Rough.
Oh no, Brad! No, Brad, are you okay? All right, what else is over here? Bicycle playing cards. This is pretty cool, man. They have a craft beer playing card deck now. So 53 cards, and each card's got a different brewery on it. Like cool breweries, too, you know, like Jester King and Founders, you know, this kind of thing. It's actually pretty cool, man. Ran across that today.
You can just buy it in the store?
Yeah, you buy it in the store right next to the regular cards.
Oh, cool.
You know, and it's kind of random. You know, there's just a brewery on every number card. It's not really any kind of other sequence or order or anything like that.
Nice, okay.
You know, the good folks at Off Color have a variant of Dino S'mores called Coffee Dino S'mores. So it's coming out on February 4th, but the reservations are going out this Friday, the 27th.
Yeah. What do you mean reservations?
So, you know, they don't want everybody showing up all at once. So they're going to be open from like 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And you have to make your reservations and get a slot on the 27th in order to show up on the 4th.
To buy your beer.
To buy your beer.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to call, make a reservation to get your spot in line to buy your beer.
Or you wait for it to be in the store?
Or just wait for it to come out in the stores. Yeah. But they're with 12%, so... You know, 12% is like a national distributor where they go to all the cool kid cities and bars and, you know, specialty restaurants.
But I see Dino S'mores at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And it's a good beer. I haven't picked it up because it's $20 for a 4-pack.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
it's
that.
It's either...
Well, there's
it's
been
somewhere between $15 and $20.
There's been a barrel-aged version of it before.
Okay, maybe it was that.
And then there's like the original Dino S'mores.
Is it in 4-packs?
They're all 4-packs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So regular Dino S'mores is like $15 to $20, like $14.99 to somewhere in there. Maybe like someone listening to me like it's not $19.99, it's $14.99. So it's somewhere in there.
Right.
Which is a lot for a 4-pack.
I agree.
For you just to take home.
I think that it's probably their most revered beer, right? I think Scurry is a really good everyday beer. You know, it's like that honey dark ale. And then, of course, I really dig Apex Predator, which is their farmhouse ale. Those are really nice.
Yeah. No, all their beer is great.
But, yeah, I think Dino S'mores is probably like the hammer, right? That's the one where they can really
do their... I'm not saying it's not worth it. I'm just saying it is expensive.
It is, yeah. It's a little pricey.
So,
yeah.
I met, but Dino Coffee Dino S'mores, that sounds like
that sounds nice.
My alley, and I may splurge for it.
Dude, I'm kind of useless. I'm more useless than usual without the coffee, you know. They're using Passion House Coffee Roasters, which is a local coffee house.
Yeah.
Same one that most of the coffee beers you see at Haymarket, they also use coffee from Passion House. Yeah, Imperial Coffee Marshmallow Stout, they're calling that.
I haven't seen Passion House Coffee around town in a while.
Me either, you know. I'm going to get one more of these.
All right, do it up.
Hey, but I see only place I see it is Whole Foods.
Okay.
Yeah, right next to Metropolis.
Yeah.
And there's like five or six that Whole Foods, like Chicago specific, that they carry.
Nice. Okay.
All right. The Brew Pub Shootout was this weekend.
Yeah.
The results are in. And breaking news.
This last week's results are in.
Yeah. So it looks like we talked about it, it's a beer and food pairing. So the beer winners, real quick, Pollyanna, Revolution, and Forbidden Root in that order, 1, 2, 3. Pollyanna had an American stout called Fun Size. Revolution had a barrel-aged American wild ale called Loganberry Reserve. Forbidden Root had that beer, that German chocolate cake beer called No Crumbs. It's whatever No Crumbs is in German, that's the name of the beer.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the top three. And then there were beer and food pairings. So Pollyanna and Burger Antics went one. Blue Island and Maple Tree Inn went two. And then Forbidden Root, which has its own kitchen, took third.
Okay. What was the theme of the food, do you know?
It doesn't really say because, like, for the Pollyanna one, they hooked up with Burger Antics for a coffee-rubbed chuck and brisket sliders.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the dish that won for Forbidden Root was, like, lamb ribs with, like, a tamarind glaze and mint yogurt. So I don't really see a theme there.
Meat.
Meat. Grilled meat. You can put both those on a grill.
Okay.
Yeah. Burnt City and Logan Theater are getting together for an IPA.
Okay.
For Groundhog's Day. So the Groundhog's Day IPA comes out on Groundhog's Day, February 2nd. Amarillo and Simcoe. And then they're going to show the movie Groundhog's Day with Bill Murray on that day for the launch party. Okay. So
that'll be, I think that might be the day. No, next week's episode's going to come out on the 1st. So, yeah. Yeah, it's Groundhog Day. It's right there.
It's right there, man. We're blowing through 2017, man. January, this weekend, up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Founders is hosting a cellarate. So they're going deep in the cellar for bottles and drafts of small batch and limited release beers.
Okay. I need to do that here. In my own house. In my own other office.
We need to have a Loose Keys cellarate.
I cannot, when I get beer for this show, I don't even have room in the fridge it. There's beer sitting on top of the fridge because I can't put it in the fridge.
Man, you need to do that just like for no reason, you know?
There's also a lot of beers that I don't want to.
Which is kind of why there's some of them are
sitting
there.
Yeah, there's like maybe like a watermelon Leinenkugels that is like, yeah.
If you invite people over, they're going to be like, what kind of cellarate is this, man?
So.
Hey, so... that's a good one because that's not far from here, you know. Grand Rapids is the midpoint between Chicago and Detroit City. Mm. So let's see what else here. Hopleaf. Hopleaf has their beer of the month is Sophie, and I'm bringing it up because 100% of the proceeds from Sophie are going to Pierce Elementary School.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the local school. You know, they do the event on Hopleaf's behind Kegs for Kids, which is an annual event where they give all the money to the school. And a couple years ago, they actually built a science lab for that middle school off of this. So the beer of the month is going to rotate, but this month it's going to be Sophie. Sophie, 100% of the proceeds will go to this school. Sophie is a barrel-aged Saison wine barrels with orange zest added to it.
Right, yeah.
Fantastic beer. I personally think Sophie is the best beer they make.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement.
It's good.
Quote.
Best quote.
Nick White.
Let's see. Haymarket celebrate their 6th anniversary.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So Claire's Thirsty Ale, they sold 500 growlers of it during their anniversary party. Yeah, they moved Claire's last year.
They sold it for like a dollar?
It was like, it had to be like super low, right? And then they moved it. So like they made the Claire's party one day, like a Friday, and then the actual party on like a Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, because they kind of want Claire's to be out front as their like kind of like their flagship thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, 500 growlers.
It's a lot of growlers.
A lot of booze, man. All right. And finally, a lot of news this week.
Yeah. That's all right. We didn't have a lot of events, so we back ended with a lot of news.
Chicago Magazine released a list of their top 50 bars in Chicago.
Okay.
And quite a few of them were breweries. So number one overall was Maria's for best bar in the city.
Okay.
Do you
agree with that? Would you say that?
Well, I'm a Sox fan, and it's right down the street from Sox Park, and I'm a huge fan of Maria's. You know, and then the Juan Kim connection because of the, you know, because of the parties he would throw, the underground parties he would throw. He's a chef now next door at Kimski's.
Yeah.
So I personally think Maria's is awesome.
I gotta say it's 100 times better with the addition.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Before, it was dark and a little scary.
They have to fix this thing where what was the just the outdoor seating area at Maria's has now like outdoor, like foodery for Kimski's, and there's a huge sign that says no smoking. But everybody smokes.
Okay.
And now it's, like, even worse because, like, what if you got, like, you know, a 6 plates from Maria's because they do, like, the small plate thing.
Yeah.
You got 6 plates from Kimski's. You're out there.
And people are smoking.
I mean, come on. Mm. Got to fix that. I do like the space. It's a dope space. Oh, let's talk about the breweries on the best 50 list. Number 15 was Lagunitas.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. 18, Band of Bohemia.
Yeah.
20, Half Acre. I think Half Acre is one of my favorite tap rooms in the city.
It's pretty nice, yeah. Like I don't really have any like qualms about it.
Yeah, it's just solid.
It's good
all the way around, solid. 25 is Weiner, out in back of the yards, which is with the Goose Island defect.
Okay. I haven't been there, I can't say that.
Me either. I haven't been there either. It just opened.
But
it just opened, like literally just opened over the summer.
I feel like someone I was talking to recently was telling me like, yeah, this is cool, but it's super scary to go there.
You got like the bleeding edge of the transformation of the area.
Right.
That's what
so
it sounds
you
like.
You do not feel comfortable
yeah.
going to this place.
Which is how like well yeah, a lot of places were like that. Like Goose Island was like that. You know, Lincoln Park at the time was kind of like transient, you know.
Yeah,
it takes a while.
So that would be my only issue with the Weiner one, but I haven't been there, so I don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
but that's what I've heard.
I've never been either. Number 35, Horse Thief Hollow, which is on that's the weird strip of like Western Avenue, which I really dig over there. One side of Western is all the bars, and across the street is completely dry. You can't buy any liquor.
It's like another like city county.
It's like small town USA. It's the same. It's the same everything. It's just Chicago. It's Western Avenue. This side of Western, you can't buy any booze, and then all the bars on the other side, like across the street from Western.
What?
This is funny. Yeah, from like I say from 95th to maybe like 130.
And that's where Horse Thief Hollow is?
Yeah,
okay.
Horse Thief Hollow is an excellent space. I like that space a lot. And number 40 was Hopewell in Logan Square.
Nice, yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone about that. I was like, I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah. So that's it for news.
All right.
Woo.
Well, I think that does it for this week's episode where Nick's made it through a lot of this. I have not. I got some catching up to do. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when you're not here recording?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAT. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. But the best place to probably see what we're up to and find out about other events is our Facebook page, / Chicago Beer Pass. We're always sharing photos, I guess, links to other events, like especially ones you have to buy tickets for. I know that Winter Fest.
Oh, yeah, Winter Brew in Lincoln Park is this weekend. Yeah. Or Lincoln Square, sorry.
No, the New Guild event. Is that this weekend?
Oh, no.
The Winter Fest that the Guild is putting on is a New Guild event.
Yeah.
Tickets for that are on sale now. So check that out. But the website, chicagobeerpass.com, that's where the episodes get posted. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, you see the YouTube version. And then if you're listening while we're recording live, usually Tuesdays around, 5 p.m. Central. We've been doing the live stream on Periscope, so you could check that out as well. So we have like 3 recordings going.
I dig it.
So, thanks, everyone, for hanging out and listening.
Cheers.